This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to springtime in the Twin Cities. I'm so excited. And now, I know I keep talking about spring every week. It's because this has been a long, long winter. And right now with us is our co-host, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. His telephone number is 763-438-1621. You can find him online simply at rippleconnects.com. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad to be talking about our topic this week. Last week, we talked about being a difference maker and knowing your own differential. And for our audience who may not have been able to be with us last week, let's recap. What is knowing your differential? What is a differential?
Well, knowing how your unique skill set, leadership, emotional intelligence, specific superpower, in a sense, really has driven organizational success in a quantifiable way. And so to know your differential is to help you separate yourself from people that have similar backgrounds to you, professional backgrounds, experience, education. Companies are looking for leaders and employees that bring a differential because we're in the middle of a pandemic. Things have changed, and they are looking for that. And we cited Twin Cities author and Forbes coaching counsel Kevin Leonard's book, Ultimate Success, Breaking the Chains of Mediocrity to Transform Your Life. And he has a chapter, Breaking the So What Barrier. Well, how do you break through the so what barrier? Knowing your differential. And that's what he lays out in that chapter. And I've used it for the last 14 months in regards to turning around a nonprofit that I've led. And I'll predicate that by saying I haven't led a nonprofit until I took over here. And we're on our way. We've had some early success with not without challenges of pandemic. But Freddie, I attribute that to knowing what my differential was.
Wow. And let's expand on it a little bit this week. So we know what our differential is. We've identified that you're a proven door opener. But now how can we leverage that when we're talking to prospective employers?
We can leverage that by simply understanding a lot of times what that employer is looking for and how do we support what our differential is. I've always said that a contender is going to be the person who has better questions than the next person that's competing with them. And if you understand what they're up against and what they need to achieve, a contender and someone that knows their differential will definitely bring that forward. And that is through conversations. That is through the interviewing process. That is through networking and leveraging Minnesota's hidden job market. Freddie, you know that I'm a proven door opener. And how I was able to do that, knowing going to you and having a conversation about, hey, I want to target this industry.
Mm-hmm.
That is how you self-market your differential, talking to others about what you've done in the past and how you could apply that somewhere else. That's an actionable step that someone can take
really
in regards to marketing their own differential.
And it sounds as if, and I know that this is probably a little off the path that we had talked about, but it sounds as if a mission statement or a statement of purpose of that individual, and I'm looking at yours, you're a proven door opener with over a decade of experience as an account executive, and it goes on and go on. Should we have our own mission statement that we can recite and say that it just rolls off when we're talking to an employer or when we're trying to respond?
My estimation, you should have something that you have as a conversation piece. And that, and what you mentioned there as a proven door opener with a decade of experience in the highly competitive office equipment industry, I'm very comfortable saying that. I own it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to own it, otherwise I couldn't have stayed there for that long. But others may not have known that. So to answer your question, yes, you should know, and you should write that down. And you should incorporate that into your self-marketing, possibly through your LinkedIn profile or just sharing it in an email to say, this is my differential. Freddie, we live in such a busy world. How do we know what anybody's differential is unless we share it?
Exactly.
Or talk about it or put it out there? We have to own it for people to recognize that we bring it.
I like your next statement, too. Your next statement says, you know, you give your differential and you say, as a result of that, and then you go on. I'm thinking that's giving the benefit of having a Joe McKenzie or a Sally Ann being a part of this organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is what has helped me and has helped others. When we know what our differential is, the employers, the prospective employers, start to see what's in it for them. And so we've really done ourselves a favor, you've done the organization a favor, by curating specifically what your differential is in this case. So yes, put it out there, own it, refine it. You're going to get people that are going to add to it. Mm-hmm. That what you just stated back to me was something that probably took 3-4 months of refinement. But I own that now. Everywhere I go, I am a proven door opener with decades of experience in the highly competitive so-and-so. That's my differential. That's what I'm good at.
That's interesting.
That's what organizations are looking for today.
I know that it makes me think about, I give talks from time to time, and I talk about people who are the wandering generalities. They just go anywhere the wind happens to take them. Wherever the wind blows, that's where they show up. They go to any opportunity, to any job that's just open. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be a wandering generality. I want to be that dynamic specific. And I'm thinking that understanding what makes you different, what makes you stand out, is much more attractive than being that wandering generality.
I believe so. And overall career satisfaction will set in too, because you know that you're driving impact at this organization. You're more than likely getting yourself in a position for growth, and you stay there long enough to have growth. When you're on a wandering pace, Freddie, you may only be there for a year and a half, 2 years. That's not conducive to growth. Mm-hmm. That's conducive to change. But yes, if you take that approach that this is what I specialize in, this is what I'm good at, this is what I can back up, and you can find those employers that are looking for that differential, you're going to be able to go in there and drive those organizational impacts and grow for yourself and look back at your career and say, because of my differential, this organization is in much better shape than it was when I was there. What a great thing to think back on. Do you agree with that?
I agree 100%. I mean, now you're talking about developing a legacy and your track record of what you've been able to accomplish. But not only that, but what you've been able to help other individuals and organizations do as a result of their foresight in bringing you into that organization or working side by side with you to accomplish whatever X might happen to be. So everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about self-marketing your differential to prospective employers. And I would imagine that there are some things, and I hope there are some items that you can share with us this weekend that we can put on the street today. We can put on the street in the next week or so to really start to make a difference and to put all this into action. What would be your first step? What would you suggest to us?
I would say the first step is write it down. Start refining it. Talking to others that are close to you, Freddie. Refine mm-hmm. that. Be comfortable putting yourself in an uncomfortable position talking about ourselves, because our differential needs to be out there. And when you're comfortable with that, you know, have someone take a look at it, help edit it. Put it on your LinkedIn profile. Put it in your emails to people or your messaging. That is the first couple steps that I recommend that you get it out there. And really, overall, once you get it to that point, Freddie, where you're thrilled with it, mm-hmm. own it. Own your differential by talking to others about that. That's not braggadocious. That's going back to the statement about leaving your legacy and helping others along the way. Your differential may ripple out so far and help other people's careers or the people that they serve. That's where the differential starts. Think about at the end of that process, how many people you impacted because you were comfortable talking about your differential.
You know, we're polite Minnesotans, and a lot of people don't like talking about their achievements and how well they perform, but this is stepping outside of that comfort zone.
It definitely is. you know, I grew up one of eight, you know, one of the younger ones of eight kids, and we weren't supposed to talk about ourselves. And here I am talking to the Twin Cities about, hey, it's okay to talk about yourself, because really at the end of the day, you're going to impact so many other people. Like you mentioned, you impact their careers, and it's because of our differential. And more importantly, it's our career. We want to make sure that we have a career that we look back on and have that legacy piece and say, I'm very proud that I was in that position. But it probably started with an organization recognizing your differential.
Well done. Joe McKenzie, you do a lot of great work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
You are probably hearing a lot of information about COVID-19 vaccines right now. We wanted to answer some common questions about how COVID-19 vaccines have been made. How are COVID-19 vaccines made faster? Usually, testing a vaccine to make sure it is safe and works is done before large amounts of vaccines are made. Because of the pandemic and money from the federal government, scientists did both at the same time. Only vaccines that have been tested and are shown to be safe are used. How are COVID-19 vaccines tested? All COVID-19 vaccines go through tests called clinical trials. Each vaccine goes through more than one test. First, the vaccine is tested with a small group of volunteers, then a couple hundred, then tens of thousands of people. Volunteers for COVID-19 vaccine trials come from many diverse communities and backgrounds. This is the same process used for testing other vaccines. How do COVID-19 vaccines get approved? For the vaccines that make it past all the tests, a team of medical experts will look at the test results and how people felt after they got the vaccine. If the vaccine works and it's safe, it gets approved. There are many groups of scientists and experts that are reviewing the vaccine safety data for COVID-19 vaccines and making recommendations. Only approved vaccines are given to people. Who is getting vaccine first? A national advisory group for CDC looked at the data and made recommendations for who should get the vaccine first. Some groups that are at the highest risk for COVID-19 or could get very sick from COVID-19 got the vaccine first. Minnesota has a team of experts who will help make sure vaccine is available to everyone fairly, with a focus on health equity. As more vaccine becomes available over time, more people will be vaccinated. For more information about the COVID-19 vaccine, visit the Health Department's website.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And right now, it's time to talk about COVID-19 and vaccinations. And just recently, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan talked about getting her first dose. She's taking the two-dose version of the vaccine. As she talked with reporters about her reaction to it and good times ahead for Minnesotans.
It's very exciting. And I went to the White Earth Urban Clinic and received my first dose of the Moderna vaccination. And I held my brother's pocket watch while I was vaccinated. And I lost my brother to COVID-19 almost a year ago. So that felt like a really powerful moment to just honor him and a lot of the folks that that we've lost. So we took photos and we took a little video, and so I made that commitment that we would document it, and we did, and it was a very, very powerful moment. I would never ask you, Minnesota, to do something that I wasn't willing to do myself. And so, you know, I got the shot. It didn't hurt. Like, I literally did not feel it going into my arm. The only side effect that I experienced from my first dose was that my arm felt pretty sore for about 2 days, and was, you know, I don't know, for the first few hours was really warm to the touch. But that's it. So the past year has just been filled with tremendous loss for so many of us, that I would just say, if there is a way to protect yourself and protect the people that you love and care about, you should do it. And vaccines will become increasingly available over the coming weeks and months. And we should all be looking forward to summer. And the way to be able to do that and be with the people that you love safely is to get vaccinated. Please, when it is your turn, take your turn and get that shot. So I want to be absolutely clear that we are not yet out of the woods. And so while we may be dialing back, it certainly does not mean that it is a free for all. You know, I think we're all really reflecting on the fact that 1 year ago we embarked on what, you know, really would become perhaps one of the most difficult years in our modern day history. It certainly was for my family, and thousands lost to COVID, a virus that closed schools and businesses, and just really caused us to really give up so much to keep each other safe. And so, you know, the governor often talks about how we were in for a long, dark, cold winter, and you know, we went through that. We are now at the moment where we know as Minnesotans that those winters do come to an end, and we are coming out on the other side of this pandemic. Today, the sun is shining in Minnesota, and you know, we know that in Minnesota today, 90% of our school districts are offering some form of in-person learning. 94% of long-term care facilities are open for family visits, and more Minnesotans are back to work as businesses are reopening. And so, you know, what we know is that the guidelines that the governor is literally talking about right now is the changes that we've made for social gatherings. It can be up to 50 people outdoors or 15 people for indoor gatherings, both without household limits. Wedding ceremonies and religious services, there's no percentage or capacity limits, but social distancing and masks are still required. And then for small businesses, for bars and restaurants, we're increasing the allowable occupancy to 75%, up from 50%, with a limit of 250 people. And the limits apply separately for indoors and outdoors. And bar seating increases to parties of four from parties of two. For salons and barbers, there's no percentage or capacity limits, but distancing is still required between customers, and masks are also required. And gyms and fitness centers, as well as pools, are increasing their allowable occupancy to 50% up, and that's up from 25%. The other piece is that all venues essentially can open at 50% capacity with up to 250 people as of March 15th. And then venues with capacity for over 500 can add additional guests effective April 1st. So, you know, the big thing here is, again, there'll be things like baseball that will be starting. The Twins are planning on welcoming people back to Target Field, but we still have to be smart, using common sense, practicing good hand hygiene, social distancing, and mask wearing will need to continue to happen until all of us, have the opportunity to receive that vaccination and really can put this pandemic behind us. I do think that there will be opportunities for our young people to celebrate some of those milestones as well. And we'll be offering more guidance on those particular things, graduations and otherwise moving forward, working in partnership with local school districts and higher education. But I think folks should start to feel hopeful. But Heidi, would I also say, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I just want to be really crystal clear about what this means, which is that it is more important now than ever before to be responsible for yourself and for others, and that our individual behavior will determine, how long we're able to, keep rolling things back, or if we have to, move to put up more restrictions. I want us to be excited about what's possible, but I also want us to exercise caution. I am certainly excited for summer. It is, in my opinion, it is why we live in Minnesota. It's hard not to get excited. There's certainly a light at the end of the tunnel. But our expectation is that every Minnesotan who wants to be vaccinated can be vaccinated by the end of summer. Although I think it will likely happen sooner than that. The CDC recently updated their guidelines for fully vaccinated people, meaning that people who've received either two doses of the Moderna and Pfizer or one dose of Johnson & Johnson after the appropriate amount of time has passed can visit with other fully vaccinated people indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing, can visit with unvaccinated people from a single household who are at low risk for severe COVID-19 disease indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing, and then refrain from quarantining and testing following a known exposure if asymptomatic. So, one thing, again, I just want to drive home. You are not fully vaccinated, or it's not fully effective until 2 weeks after your second dose if you've received Pfizer or Moderna, or 2 weeks after your Johnson & Johnson vaccine. It is possible to get vaccinated and still get COVID if you don't wait the full 2 weeks. So I would say make sure that you're signed up to the vaccine connector so you know when it's your time. I certainly will feel safer, doing summer vacation activities with my family, knowing that when my husband and I are both fully vaccinated.
That's Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan on New Beginnings, and we'll be right back. The Minnesota COVID-19 Vaccine Connector is a tool that helps you find out when, where, and how to get your COVID-19 vaccine. Signing up for the Vaccine Connector is easy, safe, and secure. All Minnesotans should sign up regardless of whether they're currently eligible to get vaccinated. Go to mn.gov/vaccineconnector to sign up. If you can't sign up online, ask your family and friends to help or 833-431-2053. Translation is available by phone in all languages. This message from KMOJ and MDH.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't. $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, wake up to your success.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us right now is an individual whose life is just a wonderful music mosaic. He is the executive director of and CEO of Twin Cities Jazz Festival, Mr. Steve Heckler. He's the founder as well. And good morning, Steve. Welcome back. Glad to have you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Fred. Good to hear you.
My goodness. So a year ago, I believe it was, we talked and the landscape in the Twin Cities music jazz industry has changed quite a bit in your association with AARP.
Oh, yes. It's amazing how much things have changed, haven't they, in 1 year? Pretty incredible.
My goodness. People are in front of their computers. And now you've got a venue that you set up for a weekly virtual concert every Thursday night. Tell us how that came about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned our partnership with AARP, you know, Minnesota. So what happened is after the pandemic first hit, which was about a year ago, we were deciding what we're going to do. Every one of my outdoor events, every single, my entire, what I do for a living went away. There was absolutely no concerts, no shows, nothing outdoors at all, no indoors anywhere. And we started feeling when we had to do something, we had to step up and support our artists and musicians, or else, you know, things will go away. We don't, you know, keep our spirits up and have our faith that this will get better. People might, you know, bail out of arts completely. And so we came up with a concept to do a weekly streaming show, a virtual show. None of us had any experience, any knowledge. Well, you know, I don't think anyone had any knowledge of how to do this or what we were going to do. And so we started a weekly series. At first, it was at people's houses during the stay-at-home. Remember the stay-at-home orders that were there last year?
Absolutely.
So we did them. So we did it out of people's, you know, like a piano player's living room, kind of like a Zoom call kind of thing. And as things lifted, we went out into the community and started filming it and went on a platform. So we've been doing this for almost a year. Well, about a year. And community support has been tremendous.
Oh my!
I'm just amazed at how many stepped up. I mean, I thought I was going to be looking for work that last year. I was going to call you, Freddie, see if I could do anything, you know, looking for a job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. We actually had a great year for artists and music. So we pitched a lot of people, a lot of communities, and AARP especially stepped up and said, "We can't let this thing go. We can't just come out of this at the other end and not have our community and our artists here." And so it's free. By the way, if you go to TwinCitiesJazzFestival.com and go to Jazz Fest Live, all the shows are free. A lot of them are archived. And so you can kind of see what we're doing. And do an hour-long show.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we did a little survey, and most people don't want to sit in front of a computer screen for watching anything for more than an hour, you know, hour and a half at the most. And so we did, you know, short and sweet. Most 90% of the artists are local from the Twin Cities. And it's just been a great experience.
That's wonderful. Everybody, I'm with Steve Heckler, the founder and executive director and CEO of Twin Cities Jazz Festival. He's talking about a weekly Jazz Fest Live, an hour. What time does it start on Thursdays?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. And do you need to reserve your seat early, or can you just go online to TwinCitiesJazzFestival.com and get a seat?
Yeah. It's all free. You just click the button. You sign in. We have a platform called Crowdcast. You sign in, and that helps reduce any kind of hacking or that kind of thing. And that's all you have to do.
All right.
It's free.
If we need more information, can we just simply go to your website, TwinCitiesJazzFestival.com?
Yeah, you'll see on the website, it has all the shows coming up too. It has all the, like the jazz scene in the city. And that's also a free service, that people can give their gigs what they're doing. And if they click on Jazz Fest Live, they can see all of our shows. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Steve Heckler, I can't thank you enough for stopping in this morning and talking to us about Twin Cities Jazz Festival, the Jazz Fest Live, and our show Thursday nights at 7. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Yeah, well, I hope in September, maybe, you'll call me and we'll talk about our next outdoor show. Wouldn't that be nice?
We certainly will. We certainly will.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
People who received either two doses of the Moderna and Pfizer or one dose of Johnson & Johnson can visit with other fully vaccinated people indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing, can visit with unvaccinated people from a single household who are at low risk for severe COVID-19 disease indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing, refrain from quarantining and testing following a known exposure if asymptomatic.
2 full weeks are required after vaccination to be fully effective. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And let's turn our attention right now to aging in place. And what is aging in place, first of all? Is maybe you've got a home that you've lived in for 30, 40 years, and maybe you don't want to go to a group home or to live with relatives. You'd just rather live where you are. Well, the best places to retire list are great conversation starters, but the vast majority of Americans have no intention of making a move in retirement. They want to age right where they are. That's a blind spot that can drag down multiple generations within a family. The 60-somethings who refuse to game out the best moves to make now for their 80 to 90-year-old future selves are unconsciously transferring those hard decisions onto their children and their grandchildren. If you think contemplating a move in your 60s is difficult, the hurdle will be physically and emotionally higher later on. That can lead to the kids scrambling to bring services into your home, a move that often requires them to bear some of the cost, and even more costly is the decision more and more adult children, mostly women, make to quit their jobs to care for an elderly parent. That puts their own household futures, retirement security, at risk. And that can trickle down to their grandkids as well, not just in a tighter college budget, but the increased risk that their parents will not be set up well to afford retirement. So while in your 50s and 60s and in good health, it's important to take a clear-eyed look at what you might consider doing now to make your retirement work for you and your entire family in the future. And that could include discussing this wish with your adult children. Can you really afford to stay put? The goal should be that you can cover basic living expenses from guaranteed retirement income, Social Security, and a pension if you have one, and any required minimum distributions from traditional 401ks and IRAs. Even if you own your own home and have the mortgage paid off, don't lose sight of property tax and maintenance. If you don't live in a region that offers property tax breaks to older homeowners, you also need to bake in that your property tax bill will continue to climb over a long retirement. No idea how to scope out the future cost of staying put? Well, there are plenty of certified financial planners you can hire on an hourly or project basis to help you to crunch those numbers. Is it safe to stay put? The vast majority of homes do not have a layout that works well for seniors. Too many stairs, no bedroom bath on the entry level, a shower that requires stepping into a tub. The time to make those age-in-place renovations is now in your 50s and 60s. And consider the psychological safety of where you live. Do you and your family need to travel a long distance, on busy roads, to see each other? Is there a big stair climb into your home? Can these obstacles be overcome, and can they be obstacles to social connections later on? Can you help your kids by moving closer? Maybe not into their homes, but maybe out back perhaps, converting a garage into a small home or a building, a separate small unit that brings you all close while maintaining some healthy distance. Some communities are becoming open to allowing homeowners to build accessory dwelling units. This is becoming really popular. And if you're game for a bigger retirement relocation, focus on future needs, not just today's wants. Warm weather is a popular criterion for best places list, but a nonprofit consortium that tracks every state's level of support and services for long-term care needs, Florida's overall is at the bottom.
The states with the highest scores across five broad categories, cost of care, support for family caregivers, etc., were right here in Minnesota, Washington, and Wisconsin. You can learn more at longtermscorecard.org. We've been talking about the best places to retire and aging in place, aging where you are right now. And the big takeaway today is that if you're in your 50s or 60s or you're approaching that age, now is the time to start making those plans, not by yourself, but also with your family. I'm Freddie Bell. You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning again, everyone, and this is New Beginnings. And right now, let's shift our attention. And that's a great word because we'll be talking about transition as we welcome Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis. She is the founder online, westmetrohypnosis.com, 952-222-3975. And Kelly, welcome. The word for this week is transition.
It is transition. Freddie, and I am so glad to be here with you as we transition from one season to another. And that's why I think it's important to focus on this word today. So all of our listeners right now can just take this opportunity to breathe, to feel a breath move through their bodies, inhaling deeply and exhaling slowly. And as you do this, just feel that breath transition from an inhale to an exhale. Feel how the changing of that breath changes what your muscles do. That on the inhale, your muscles contract and fill up, and on the exhale, they let go, release, allowing relaxation to deepen. You only need a few moments of observing how the transitioning of your breath can allow you to become present, to become more fully aware of this moment right now. And transition is a word that we sometimes don't always welcome. Transition implies some sort of change happening. As we look out into the seasonal transition taking place right now, we know that it may be a few more weeks before we see the full effects of what is actually happening. But we know that even though we can't see it, the transition from winter to spring has already begun. We see this with the melting of the snow. Even though snow may still return, we know that big changes are happening. It's quite extraordinary, really, when you think about all that happens beneath the surface, away from our observatory eye. And yet, we can sometimes feel it in the air. The warmth of the air, a different kind of breeze, more sun, warmer temperatures. And we know that transition ultimately is part of the cycle of life. And so we take a moment to welcome it, to welcome the changes that it brings, to welcome the opportunity to let go of that which is no longer, to honor it, to acknowledge it, and to boldly move forward with a spring in our step into this new chapter, this new opportunity, this new phase of life. And so I thank you for being here.
And we thank you. That's Kelly Von Hanekoff, the founder of West Metro Hypnosis, 952-222-3975. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975, West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Now today I'm speaking about a journey we will make together in the coming weeks, but don't worry. You don't have to go outside. Ash Wednesday is only 10 days away, and that will mark the beginning of the Lenten season. This annual tradition of the Christian calendar is essentially a pilgrimage or spiritual journey, and those who choose to take the trip will travel together, not alone. This Lenten pilgrimage is a community experience, not a solitary one. Well, first of all, what is a pilgrimage? Someone asked me that this week. A pilgrimage is a journey, often into an unknown or foreign place, where a person goes in search of new or expanded meaning about their self, others, nature, or a higher good. It can lead to a personal transformation, after which the pilgrim returns to their daily life. Pilgrimages frequently involve a journey or a search of moral or spiritual significance. Typically, it is a journey to a shrine or other location of importance to a person's beliefs and faith. Although sometimes it can be a metaphorical journey into someone's own beliefs. And such is our tradition in our greater unity community. Charles Fillmore often spoke of this Lenten journey, that it was a movement not in space, but a movement in mind. It was moving with ideas in mind, from a more limited understanding to a greater comprehension. This Lenten journey of 2021 may prove to be a great opportunity to find the much called for unity that can supersede the divisions so prevalent in the world today. Many think this goal is almost impossible at this time in our world. Saint Francis claimed, "Start by doing what's necessary. Then do what's possible. And suddenly, you're doing the impossible." As my friend in New York, Patsy Scala, noted, when we do the necessary simple things with love, grace comes. Unity is established, and soon we are doing what the world deemed impossible. In the words of Jesus, all things are possible for God. That is a consciousness of oneness or unity. We should ask, but how do we get to this state of mind, this consciousness of unity, and transcend are boundaries created by ego, opinion, or the attitude, hey, it's my way or the highway. Transcendence is possible, though. Jesus gave us a formula in John's Gospel. Many limit the idea to simply his experience of death and resurrection. But I think it speaks to each one of us and our own pilgrimage. The words he spoke, there is no greater love, which is unity, than this: to lay down one's life or ego for one's friends. Did you hear that? There is no greater love, which is unity, than to lay down one's ego, one's limited sense of life, to put it aside for the benefit, the welfare of one's friends. Well, I want to give you some examples of either willingness or lack of willingness to transcend the boundaries created by our individual egos day by day. How we define ourselves, the groups to which we claim to be a part, the roles that we establish for ourselves in our lives. We can go beyond these barriers if we choose. And my premise is, until we go beyond these barriers, we cannot achieve the power of unity or truly coming together for a common good. I'm going to invite you to recall our lesson of January 24th, holding the high watch. Now, that was not long ago, and it is recorded in our archives on YouTube. So if you didn't hear it, you have the opportunity of going back and watching it. Holding the high watch. We can't get to the big picture, that high watch perspective, if we are stuck in a limited self-identity. Whether it is something like, I'm not good enough, I don't have the experience to do this work, or I am a teacher, a hero, a healer, a fixer, a fighter, etc. Or perhaps you see yourself in the role of a caregiver. Or perhaps I am a Republican, Democrat, Independent, and many other examples. Now, we can choose our team to play a game or attain a goal as long as we realize we are much more than any one game or one purpose. Emily Cady wrote in our foundational textbook for Unity, Lessons in Truth, Beloved, as surely as you and I live, it is all one and the same truth. There may be a distinction, but it is without difference. Do you hear that? There may be a distinction, but it is without difference. In other words, we all live our lives filled with distinctions of how we hold our identity separate or in distinction to others. But Dr. Cady reminds us, in truth, there is no difference among us. That is a powerful idea. From this higher perspective, distinctions
or divisions offer no real difference in truth.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.